Tonight, the Cincinnati Opera is returning to its first home, the Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden, where performances were held from 1920 through 1971. Zoo director Thane Maynard and Evans Mirages, the Harry T. Wilkes Artistic Director of the Cincinnati Opera, talk about the magic of opera performances at the zoo and their colorful casts of singers and zoo animals.
Evans, it's good to see you again, sometimes at the zoo, and here we are right now, WVXU.
I'm so happy to be here and also happy to have the anticipation of the summer and the opera season begun with our annual Back to the Zoo.
I know we were talking earlier. This is the sixth year that you've brought the Cincinnati Opera back to the Cincinnati Zoo, which really is a homecoming.
Well, we're both remembering, I think, the first year that we did this, and I came out on a site requisition to see what it would be like, because, of course, the original zoo pavilion where the opera performed no longer exists.
Right, no kidding.
So where were we going to perform? So I was told about the Wings of Wonder Amphitheater, and I went there, and I thought, this is beautiful. This is like a Greek theater. Smaller.
Yeah.
Good acoustic, wonderful location, and, of course, still with a requisite accompaniment of the animals in the background. So it's just like old times.
It is true. You know, we have neighbors that live sometimes as far as Clifton, obviously Avondale, who will say, my gosh, at night, you know, I'll hear the seals, I'll hear, you know, the gibbons, I'll hear all sorts of different things, but that's fun. And of course, once people start singing, it is true, other animals want to sing along.
It's amazing. It's a wonderful experience to go back to the zoo because, as you know so well, that's where we got our start in 1920 and performed there until the early 1970s. We've been in music hall ever since. And when the inspired idea came, in part from the Marge and Charles J. Schott Foundation, to do something at the zoo, it was a wonderful homecoming because the concert sells out every year.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the concert, again, this year is totally sold out. There's
That's
not
right.
a ticket to be had. But it speaks to two things, I think. First of all, it speaks to the nostalgia of those who remember going to the zoo. How many stories of courtship mm-hmm. and first dates, and I found my wife, I found my husband at a zoo performance of the opera. And also for the younger men and women who come, it's a chance to experience music al fresco,
mm-hmm.
to be in a very congenial atmosphere and hear some great operatic music under the stars. And of course, hearing some of the original musicians, meaning the animals themselves, mm-hmm. who have just as eloquent a speech as we human beings do, just in a different vocabulary.
You know, that's an interesting thing. As we celebrate and we have this, the sixth year, right? You and I go back and forth on stage, but it really is true. Mother Nature invented singing. Birds are the most famous singers in the world. Some scientists believe that's because they can fly, so they can make noise and get away without being eaten. But other animals, of course, sing as well. Whales are famous for singing now. Lots of different creatures intentionally make noises, but it is the birds that truly sing in a melodic way that we almost relate to. And I know many composers and many folks over the years have used nature as a background for that.
You know, one of my favorite memories is of a conductor, a very fine conductor, Sir Roger Norrington, who did conduct at Cincinnati Opera in 2009. And his wonderful comment is, composers throughout the centuries have been trying to do one thing above everything else, which is recreate the natural world in this metaphysical, metaphorical way using music, particularly mm-hmm. orchestral music. And lots of composers, Beethoven in his Pastoral Symphony, Mahler in all of his symphonies, mm-hmm. has the sounds of nature permeating through his music. So we are all, in our own way, particularly when we sing, trying to remember those birds who do it without effort. They do seem to do everything without effort. Fly, sing, mate, everything.
Absolutely. You know, the shows that are at the zoo have such terrific energy. They really do. They are people are smiling from the open to close. And some of that's we have fun with it. Animals come out on the stage. But also you provide a lot of surprises. Maybe tell some of what the show will be like this year.
This year is fairly typical in that it is for very wonderful young singers and our fantastic pianist, Carol Walker, mm-hmm. who's been our pianist for all of our zoo concerts over the years. And it's a nice mix of operatic favorites, a preview here or there of the season to come, and also some music from American musical theater, our great contribution along with jazz to the international music world. And there are some things that we do that are a little tongue-in-cheek that have animal references in them mm-hmm. or we stage between the two of us and with the wonderful handlers who work at the zoo, appropriate animals to come out as commentary mm-hmm. on some of the numbers. And you're right, Thane. It is an evening of great music but no seriousness, because one of the things that I love so much about opera is the joy that it brings. Even when opera is telling a sad and serious story, there is such an intensity of energy, such heightened human emotion, that you can't help but get swept up into it. So when we come back to the zoo, we try and recreate some of the more serious moments that we've had with some of the great tragic operas. But the majority of the music is lighthearted and joyful and full of kinetic energy, like the amazing animals that you bring on stage. We also fashion every year a wonderful parade at the end of the show.
Talk to the animals.
We talk to the animals from Dr. Doolittle, and you and your wonderful colleagues bring on an incredible variety of four-legged and two-legged and winged creatures. And the thing that I notice about the audience, which is an adult audience, but they're also kids, but everybody turns into a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's just remarkable to see men and women in their 60s and 70s and their 80s go all kitty-eyed and smiley when they come up and encounter one of the zoo animals up close. Because at the end, of course, we have almost our own very carefully organized petting zoo. Everybody but the cheetah, right?
Exactly,
no one pets the cheetah.
Right. No kidding. You know, it's fun also for someone like me to really see live performing arts is different than something that's electronically recorded.
Oh, yeah.
There's great recordings, there really are, of some of the great performances of all history. But being there live, you get all of the fun of it, which is harder to convey on a recording, and also the spirit of it, too. And as you said, the young singers you bring, I have been amazed from year one. They jump in on anything. There are times you've had them dressed like zookeepers. There's times you've had them carry buckets with fish in it. And they're like, sure, I'd love to do it.
Well, we've added a wonderful twist. Thanks to the Schott Foundation's generosity last summer to celebrate the fifth anniversary of the program, we invited My Cincinnati, which is this amazing group of young string players, primarily from Price Hill, with their fantastic leadership to they've formed a little string orchestra. And they played and actually accompanied two of our singers last summer. And everybody fell in love with these young kids who play as if their lives depended on it, and frankly, whose lives are made better in a sometimes very straitened economic circumstances by the opportunity to learn and to play a stringed instrument. So My Cincinnati is coming back this summer with three numbers, two of which will be accompanying singers from our ensemble. I can't wait.
Oh, I know. That really has energy, and I think is a surprise because of their youth and their circumstance and their passion for it.
Yeah. Now, I have to say that even though opera season is an amazing juggernaut of activity, to be able to begin the opera season, sort of a signal event with this Back to the Zoo concert, and then just a couple of weeks later, our now annual free concert in Washington Park, I really feel as though we set the seal on summer. It's like, okay, now it's summertime. Now it's time for opera season because we've been back to the zoo and honored our roots. And we've gone into Washington Park and honored the revitalization of Over the Rhine, collaborated with the great Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra and our soloists and chorus to give something totally free to Cincinnati audiences.
And it really does have the right energy and a lot of history, as you said, because yes, the Cincinnati Summer Opera, as I think it was first called, was the original Cincinnati Opera, and it was at the zoo starting in 1920. And similarly, the Cincinnati Zoo and Botanical Garden, as we're now called, and we're an accredited garden, when we were founded in 1873, our original name, and for more than 100 years, was Cincinnati Zoological Garden. And it was a German-style zoo designed in part by Andrew Erkenbrecker, who was a German immigrant, and had the same goals we have today. They wanted to have a beautiful garden for people to bring their families and relax and to have cultural events all surrounded by natural animal exhibits. And I've not been to Germany, and so I haven't seen Stuttgart Zoo and Frankfurt Zoo, but I understand from colleagues it has some of that same feel today that ours has, that same concept of bringing things like the Cincinnati Opera to people in a setting you might not expect.
But one of the things I think you've been able to add, particularly in your tenure, Thane, is the incredible research aspect that the zoo has undertaken that has given it its own worldwide fame and also given it the wonderful nickname, the sexiest zoo in America.
That's right. Newsweek magazine called us that, Evans. And it's based on the fact that we breed endangered species no one else has ever been able to figure out. We're famous for breeding Sumatran rhinos, which is the rarest large mammal in the world. But also, just this week, we had a Steller's sea eagle hatch out, and we're the only zoo anywhere that's bred those. It's interesting because a number of other zoos have them, but the ones they have are ones that hatched out here, and we've sent them to them. So It could be the water in the Ohio River. It could be our research. I don't know, but it's working.
I think it's the romantic atmosphere that they hear all of that singing from Cincinnati opera singers. They can't help but be amorous.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you hit on an important point. Animals, particularly birds, that are so famous for singing, mostly do it for one reason. 95%, they want to find a girlfriend. That's what it's about. 5% might be establishing territory, showing off, saying, don't try to steal my girlfriend. But about 95% is showing off for the ladies.
I can say that for most male opera singers I know, too.
Absolutely. Well, we will have fun. As you said, it's sold out, but I'm betting we might do a seventh year next year. So folks will have to stay tuned and try to get some tickets, but we'll report more on it. Evans, always good to see you. Thanks for doing this.
My pleasure, Sam.
Yeah. My guest has been Evans Miragis, the Harry T. Wilkes Artistic Director of the Cincinnati Opera. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.
And thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Stay tuned for Here and Now.